Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Listen, right, we're looking for a lad who can do his stuff. I've heard you're a bit tasty. No messing around or you get a slap. Remember, I'm the monkey and you're the cheese grater, so no messing around.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. This is the show called Play Retro. I'm Scott Johnson, and I like to run over hookers.
Oh, and I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think the police want to have a word with me about this car I jacked. Oh, wasted.
I don't actually like running over hookers, okay?
No, but it does give you a bonus, right? Don't you get like some glitchy bonus if you
get points in the beginning, or the early games you got points and you got money. I don't think they do that now. Like if I'm in five and I run over a lady of the evening, I don't think that gives me anything extra, as far as I know.
Hey, that's a hint. Thrill.
That's a hint about what we're going to talk about, by the way. I don't know if anyone heard that hint, but yeah, we're going to totally talk about a thing, and that's coming up here shortly. Before we do that, Brian, a couple of quick things. I was digging through, like you do, you know, when you're interested in retro stuff, I'm digging through some old games, and I got to the SNES category, you know, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Are you familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you're saying you're digging through your virtual collection, or you got hardware?
A little bit of both. I was doing kind of like a general comb through of things, and I came upon a game. I don't know where this ROM came from. Don't know how I got it. I never even heard of the game.
And that's what I'm telling the authorities
That's right. Let them know I got this game. It's called Fireman, right. F-I-R-E-men, one word.
Okay. Just fireman. Okay.
Fireman. Right? Yeah. Like
very simple,
fires.
Very basic.
Yep. And I thought, well, that sounds dumb. I'm going to fire it up and see what it is. And I was expecting it to be some weird one-off. No one remembered. And they don't. No one remembers it. It's still weird. No men on fire. The men are fine. These are men that puts out fires. That's what they do.
Oh, that makes sense.
I fired it up and you put out fires and stuff in the near future of 2010.
That's the old future.
Yeah.
The future past.
And they said 2010 is a dark time and not much has changed in 20 years. And, you know, because it was about 20 years before that or something. It's weirdly good. I'm going to go ahead and tell people that this weird SNES game, if you have it or have access to it, called Fireman, is all right. You go and you put out fires. It kind of pokes my like chore core button a little bit,
right?
There's a job to be done and I got to go do it. And there's a story and everything. And you're going into like a Nakatomi Plaza kind of building to save all these people that were there for a office party, and the place is on fire. And so it kind of Towering Inferno, as a good one chat says, a lot like that. And you go through this place and you're just putting out these fires. You have a main hose. And then you have a spritzer hose. So the main hose like shoots way out and gets the big moving flames and kind of plays like a shooter almost, like a, I don't know what to compare it to. Like, I really don't know what to compare that to. It just feels like I'm kind of aiming with a shooter, but it's water.
Right.
And then the other one is this, the other one, I hit the B button for this mister thing. And the mist is for the small little flames are like on carpets and stuff. So I have to mist those out, use the big one for the flames. And then I got somebody with me. And if we find like a victim, somebody who's gotten hurt or passed out in the fire, this other guy will throw him over his back and take him out and then come back and find me later and then continue working our way through the building. I was charmed by this game. I didn't expect it. I don't even ever heard of it, never seen it before. I didn't even know it was a thing. And bam, there it is. So I guess
I'm going to save our listeners' eyes, by the way. If you are looking for this, make sure to type in Fireman SNES before you just type in Fireman in Google.
Oh yeah.
I saw a couple of main hoses when I just typed in Fireman. Oh. It was no good.
Oh, you mean like man hoses. I see what you did.
No, mostly just a bunch of firemen with their shirts off. Apparently this is a fetish. Perfect.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in. Sign me up for your weird fetish. Chat. Oh, I can't put it up like that. Hold on a second. Here's a picture of it, of the cover. Chat room can see it. It's just called, The Fireman. And it was licensed by Nintendo, made by a company called Human Entertainment. They might still be around. I don't know.
I love the anime of the call center lady. She is absolutely cross-eyed.
Yep.
What is going on with that? Yep. And why is she right under a lightsaber?
What is this art? It's weird. I think that lightsaber is supposed to be, if you look at it reversed, yeah, it's like a hose tip. But it's not done very well. I mean, the art's terrible. But the gameplay surprised me. And it looked good and sounded good and didn't feel that old. And I don't know, kind of walked away going, this is all right. Whatever this is, real weird, but I kind of like it. So anyway.
That's Human Entertainment? Is that who that is?
Human Entertainment. I don't know what else they make.
We've talked to those guys before.
Have we? Yeah. What do they do? Yeah. What do they make?
We talked about it on this very show.
Did we?
And it was a spin-off.
Japanese developer publisher. They made the following games. Oh, they make stuff for all sorts of things. Looks like they haven't made anything since they made a Dreamcast game. Yeah, Dreamcast might be the last thing they did. And let me tell you what it was.
I am having all kinds of Google failing. Looking for a human developer. Mm-hmm. I'm failing. I'm out.
Well, they're all over the place. Pole Position, F1 Pole Position, Clock Tower. They published, didn't make it, but published it. The version that's on the SNES. They made this fire thing I mentioned. Super Final Match Tennis. They're kind of all over the map in terms of stuff they made. But I like it. I'm just putting it out there. If you want to see a weird thing, that thing is weird and works somehow. Sometimes there's gems in there, and you're just unaware of them.
You got to pull them out.
Yeah, some nice pixel graphics. You're in these like futuristic-looking fireman clothes, and you're out there putting out the fires with your hose.
Well, it is 2010.
Yeah,
so,
it is 2010. You're right. The future was here the whole time. Okay, anyway, that's pretty great. The other thing I wanted to mention was Itch.io, or Itch.io, as a lot of people like to call it, is doing a big sale for the Ukraine. And I picked this up this morning. So here's what they're doing. It's like 1,000 plus games.
Wow.
6,100, like 6,000 something $100. What am I trying to say? 6,000 something dollars.
I have no idea. $6,100.
I keep saying it wrong.
Tell me where the comma's at. Give me some numbers, then do a comma.
This is time of day, man. The couch is like calling to me this time of day. As this goes.
Right.
I hate it.
But they have money. They have money, right?
Yeah, they have money. So
they're helping out with the Ukraine thing.
Yeah, so if you go buy this thing, it's $10 for all of those games. So you get 1,000 games. Right. And some of them you may already have, but just tons of indies. Obviously, it's itch.io, and that's all they make. Or that's their whole thing. Their whole focus is indie.
That's their jam.
Yeah, $6,500, I think, is what I said this morning. Cold cash, you're right.
Right.
And all of the proceeds go to the Ukraine. Yeah. And $10 is all they're asking. You can bump it. I bumped mine, but you can do as low as 10, and you're getting almost $7,000 worth of games, and you're helping a really good cause. So go check it out, itch.io, and their sale is right up top there. You'll see the Ukraine.
And for those in the future, Russia has invaded the Ukraine. So it's 2022.
Oh, right. So if you're hearing this show in the year 2080, well, we're all dead then. Yeah. So who cares?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is fine. Oh, there was Fireman 2 for the PS1, only Japan, though. Interesting.
Oh.
Okay, Tondrago. So that's an interesting twist. I may need to look at that, too. Anyway, and thank you, Tondragosa, for putting the chat or the link directly to the sale in the chat. For folks at home, again, itch.io will get you there. So go check it out. Hey, Brian, what's going on? I saw a GameCube controller in your hand today. Is that true? What happened there? What's going on?
Okay, so I've been looking for some real... I've got my GameCube set back up on my CRT, and I've been looking at getting some genuine GameCube controller, because the only one I have is a GameStop one, and it is pure trash, Scott. It is pure trash. So I was looking around.
Wait, GameStop branded GameStop or what?
Yeah, GameStop branded. Yeah. No. Do I have it within reach? I don't have it within reach, but I'll have to show it to you one day. It's a piece of trash. So I ordered this. This is the what do you call it? It's the Super Smash Bros. Black, but they didn't have any of the US versions. They're all sold out. What I did was able to get was the imported, and this was just on Amazon.com. $40, which is by far not a bad price. If you look at, I mean, the control of this thing, I did some videos, lookups, research before I bought it.
Those were only $25 when they were new, the official ones back in the day.
That's the thing. Yeah. And if you try to get the ones that are, you know, the US versions, they're like renewed, used for like $60 and $80 or more. But this is brand new in the box. It's the import version. It's the same thing. They're just more abundant. And if you watch a video on this, it is when they break it down, this guy breaks down both the original controller and this thing. And it is freaking one-to-one. I mean, they was as authentic as they could be with this thing, including when you push the trigger buttons. I don't remember if the old GameCube trigger buttons. When you push them, once you get to a certain point, they click. So that was...
It's got that weird analog. They gave you what do you call that? I guess it's just analog. That's what that is.
Right. Yeah. Right. Once you break it down to the top. So yeah, $40. So I ordered a second one because I mean the build quality is freaking amazing, and you are showing my my NASCAR from dirt to Daytona.
Okay. Let me ask you this question: why is there a Cheerios car in your game?
Because that was the default car that I picked. When I was playing this game, I just kept hitting the A button until I was racing.
Okay. All right. Well, that is
Am I playing the career? I'm not looking at none of this stuff. I'm just clicking on it. Did you like NASCAR Heat? You probably played it.
I did play. No, I never played any of the NASCAR games. The closest I ever got to was Daytona, all the Sega machine Daytona stuff. I love Daytona. Big fan.
Right. Yeah. I think these are the same guys that did NASCAR Heat, and it is an excellent NASCAR game so far from what I've seen. I've really enjoyed it. And like I said, I did order a second GameCube controller that's supposed to be here Friday, specifically because I have a friend of mine. We used to play these NASCAR games all the time, and I can't wait for him to come over and let's to relive a little bit of our past.
Why not?
Just a little bit.
Why not, why not? That's great. So, but it feels like the real McCoy is the point with this controller. Right?
It feels absolutely the real thing, and you're not going to find a new one of these.
No.
That no one else has had their grubby hands on.
Does this have, I noticed it has the Smash Brothers emblem thing logo, which I don't, it's probably not licensed by Nintendo is my guess. I don't know actually though. Maybe it is.
I mean, it's the official Nintendo box. I mean, you would think.
Maybe. I mean, that's why people buy these. They want to play competitive, whatever, Smash Brothers, what was it called? That Smash Bros. Melee. They want to play Melee.
Super Smash Bros.
Melee, right?
Melee. Was it Melee? No, yeah. I think it's a Super Smash Bros.
No, that's the N64.
That's what the description. You might be right, though. It might be more than that.
Yeah,
but that
the N64 game is just, that's it. Super Smash Bros.
Bros. But, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Ultimate.
I think it's, no, Ultimate's the new one on Switch. That's the Switch one.
You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, I know all about that damn game, even though I suck at it, and Kirby is OP. Okay? All
right. My kids know a ton about it. I don't know much. I also want to mention, as long as you're mentioned, the Ukraine, don't forget that John Romero, on Friday, released a Doom 2 level, and he's already raised over $29,000 for Ukraine support. And I've got that Doom 2 level.
I did
and
too.
I'm gonna
I bought
play it,
it
somewhere in the near future.
I haven't Maybe bought it. For I was happy. Patreon. I was happy to support it, but yeah, it'd be a good Patreon video or something.
Right.
I wonder
I'm
if
pretty
it's good.
Excited about it.
I hope it's good because you know it's not like the guy sits around making Doom videos all day. I don't know if he's like rusty or forgot how to do it or some of his levels were the best, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure he's still good. Doesn't matter. The point of it is you're doing a good cause thing and you got the money. Do it. Help out the Ukrainians.
I did it for the level, Scott. I really. All about me.
Yeah, you didn't hear anything. Like, what? I'm sorry, there's a conflict? There's a war? What? It's okay. Right. I'm just too busy over here playing this sweet new Doom Wad that I kept waiting all these years for.
Right.
Anyway, finally. That's cool. So let me know how that goes with your GameCube. And it seems like that should work for all your GameCube needs, not just your Smash Brothers needs.
Absolutely. I plugged it into the Wii to make sure that was functional there, worked there as well. So we're all good and set up and ready to play. And I also ordered two very suspicious GameCube controllers off a website. And they were like brand new recreations for like $10 a piece. Order two of them.
Oh, you don't have them yet, though.
I actually think they were $8 a piece. I think the whole thing shipped was $20. So we're going to see what kind of trash is coming through the mail.
I got some trash of my own here. Hold on a second.
Right. This is, we're going to see.
So I spent $9 on these. Came as a pair, so two of them for $9.
Right.
And I was told this was the best, and this is on Amazon, these are the best knockoff SNES controllers you can get. Oops, there we go. Whoops, how come I can't pull that up? There it is. So these, they're called iNext, which has two N's, and that's real dumb.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
But these USB controllers that are meant to mimic your SNES controllers feel great. Right. Super, super responsive. D-pad's awesome. It's not floaty or weird like some of the crappy ones. Like for $8, $9 for two?
Right.
No brainer. No brainer.
I figured I could play up to four players if I plug into my... Yeah, I can play it to four players. I figured whoever I don't like can play the two crappy ones.
Yeah, who do you not like? Who do you not want?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait until the cards have been shuffled and I see who's in the room.
you dodged that one nicely. All right. Let's talk about our game of the week.
Shall we play a game?
So in some ways, this is a game of the week. Some ways, it's two games of the week. And really, at the end of the day, it's kind of a genre of the week because this thing cracked open quite the bundle of upcoming changes to this industry. And it didn't even know it, I don't think, when it started.
It had no clue. It was blind to the fact about what it was about to do.
Yep, I believe that is true. And the games we're talking about are the original top-down originally on PlayStation 1. We'll talk about ports and other things, but the original top-down versions of GTA 1 and 2. Yes, that's right. Grand Theft Auto.
And before you send the emails in, it came out on the DOS first, but go ahead.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. DOS first. No, I had no idea. That's cool. Nothing wrong with DOS.
Unless I'm wrong, which I don't think so.
Well, you could be, but if I had my guesses, you're probably right. You're often right, and so why wouldn't I believe you today? So I just don't remember that being the case, but anyway, these old games, they had a little bit of zoomage. They were polygonal. The character was a little weird sprite polygon thing. It's hard to explain what he is, but the cars themselves were, simple sprites on top of some simple polygons. The buildings had some perspective, but it's as if the camera was right above your car the whole time and you drove around town and did shit. And usually it was like, hey, the boss wants you to go knock off Billy, see? And you'd go do that stuff. Now, if that sounds a lot like GTA, well, you'd be right. It's the beginnings of that. But more importantly, and we'll get into the quality of these games and if they hold up today or not, because I got some bad news for people about hold up. But you could make the argument, and I would comfortably make the argument, that these games were the tip of a very interesting spear that would end up changing games forever when it comes to open world and open world mechanics.
Right.
Even though these games, much smaller in scope than even 3, which would come out, two versions later in the mid-aughts. But really, that's when things really lit on fire was 2. But for its time, it was kind of unheard of that a game like this, or a game like any kind of game, would let you steal any car you saw, drive anywhere you wanted to go, get a mission, but then get sidetracked and do some other stuff because you got sidetracked, and then getting back on the main mission, and then, finding a gun in a crate. Like, these basic, simple mechanics that we think of now were unheard of then. This didn't exist in most games.
I think one of the reasons why it works so well here is because we had seen things where we'd kind of done some of this in sci-fi, in some other games, space games. We had some of these elements of what was going on. But the fact that these developers were working in, even though it's fantasy, it was is something that we all can relate to, because we could all imagine ourselves being, you know, what if we went rogue and what if we were, you know, criminals? And so they kept asking those questions as they were developing the game. It's like, well, what would you do if you hijacked a car? Yeah. And then what would be the next thing? And it's something that we all have probably at least given some little thought to. And yeah. So,
I mean, it's a fun fantasy to live out. Same reason people like crime movies or whatever. They like to explore those worlds or whatever. And they, you know, there's a
what
lot
if
of,
I broke down the social construct and didn't, you know, and I didn't abide by any rules? What would it be like then?
Sure. And the entire, their whole fantasy in the beginning and even up till 5, which is the, you know, the version that is currently on its, what, fifth reissuing or whatever. Right. Five's insane. Like, 5 is this game that continues to be one of the biggest money-making video games of all time, and it came out in 2013. Like, what are we even doing? Right. It's so insane to me how big GTA is even all this time later. And will we ever see a 6? I don't know. There's talk they're working on it. But we're not going to go that modern. I think a lot of what those games are and became, and then many other games like it, because everybody and their dog wanted to make one of these after the success of certainly 3.
I'm sorry, I like the idea of a dog wanting to develop the game.
He wants to steal.
To imagine what he would do.
You want to steal a car? A dog
Grand
wants
Theft
to steal
doggy.
One. Yeah, Grand Theft Doggo. There you go.
Yeah, Grand Theft Doggo. And he would be like, he'd chase the dog, and then he would chase the car, and he would catch it. And
exactly.
That would be the whole game.
Yeah, precisely. So it's one of those, it's an odd... thing, because on the one hand, we're going to talk about how this is like a revered entry into new territory in gaming, and at the same time, this stuff is ugly, plays like shit, and I don't want to play 1 and 2 ever again. That's
everybody,
how bad it
I know
is.
Right, it, yeah. It is so important, but also at the same time, it is not the best experience, because we've come along so far. Some of the things that were really cool and neat back when they were doing it was this zooming camera effect where, as you slow down, you see a larger field because the camera, it zooms out as you slow down. And when you go faster, it zooms in, which kind of creates this effect like real speed.
Other way around. I know what you're trying to say.
Am I saying it backwards?
Yeah. Okay, so if you drive it, anyway, it zooms out, you slow down, it zooms in. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. You slow down, it zooms in. So that it's that right?
Yeah, because faster you went,
it's to see.
Yeah,
right,
if it pulled out when you went fast, or sorry, if it pulled in if you went fast, you just wipe out and die all the time.
You wipe out, right? Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you're right. I said it backwards.
I'm just making sure. I didn't want to clear that.
No, you was right. You was right. Call me out before we get the emails.
Yeah.
It's kind of sickening how it works.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a smart mechanic. It made sense at the time.
It was technically impressive, right? Like from a technical standpoint, it was like, whoa, look at all this geometry. And, you know, 3D stuff was still new and polygonal, you know, video games were still in their infancy. And I don't know, this kind of worked for that. I remember being really impressed by it when I first saw it. I remember playing it and going, oh, I could do this all day. And then I played it this week and went,
right,
oh, we've gotten so much better at this now.
It was really, for me, when I first played it was all about, I even here in the U.S., I knew about the controversy that was Grand Theft Auto. And when I played it, I was like, yeah, that is pretty cool that you can run over people. Because all my race games before then, which were, by the way, at this time starting to transition to 3D and not top down, you know, you couldn't run over anybody. You would try again and again, and it was just like, you know, it's not going to happen because the game was designed that way. This game was like, yeah, well, what if you did? Yeah. And you get points for it.
Yeah, what if you kill people, got points, got money, got guns, and it's just because you wiped a dude out? And what if you could always get away from the cops? There was always a way to do it. They could get you sometimes, but even then, if you're in the hospital, you'd still get out and go back and do it again. And like, there's a real power fantasy going on in this game. It's always been controversial from its original incarnation like this all the way up through current. Obviously, people still look at GTA, and you know, the more precious among us are always like, GTA is training our children to be criminals. which is horseshit and dumb, but
especially not top down. There's no way I could translate anything I'm learning here to real life.
No, I don't. I mean, that's my point with most game criticism, is that nothing you're really doing is training you to do anything. I mean, it's training you to be a better gamer. Maybe you're better.
Right.
Playing
maybe some
games.
Better reflexes. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
That's about it. GTA 2 follow up. not long after, right? What was the year on that? Had that written
down.
Years.
It took a few years to develop that one. In between, there was some DLC that came out for the first one to kind of hold us
right.
over.
The first one had these two breakouts that were different years set in London.
Right. And London, baby, 69 London, yep. and then 61.
And they called it London, which is weird because right. these games are famous for being in fake cities they made up names for.
Yeah, yeah.
So and Liberty City is like a ripoff of New York and, you know, Miami right. or Vice City is Miami and that sort of thing. And yet
it was really weird yeah. is that it was done in Canada, of yeah. all places.
Yeah. yeah. Developed in Canada by Canadian developers. We'll get we'll get to their origins here in a second. What I like about two is look at all this really bad live action video. Oh, it's so good. So bad.
That's how this game starts, by the way. If you've never launched GTA 2, it starts off with this film that's mostly taken from this 8-minute promo film that they made, and it is atrocious. When I say film, really, it's more like a music video because it's this music after song that fits right in during this time period.
It's worth watching, though, if you've got a minute.
It's like Sabotage.
Oh, yeah, it's just like Sabotage, except worse. Sabotage is pro. Yeah. This is bad. you need to go. If I were any of you out there, I'd go on YouTube right now, search for GTA movie or GTA 2 movie and just watch. They've got an unedited running whole thing of it. It's going to make your life infinitely better worse. And then worse at the same time. It's so
Eight
bad.
Minutes. You can do it. I believe in you. So we can share in the pain that I had to experience.
Yeah. And those London games aren't great. The games, the most of the top-down stuff doesn't hold up at all, except one exception. We'll get to that in a little bit, though, because I still think one of them is very playable today, and I would play it right now if I could, but there's a lot of ones that aren't so great.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a little audio from these first two games? Let's hear a little bit of this.
Oh, my God. You got some audio from GTA 1 and 2? Because, is this got the – have you keyed in the cursing cheat code, or are you just going
to it's just gameplay. Right. And this is me playing, trying to get my head around it again. It's okay. Here it is.
Yeah.
This is just for the first part, a little funky. We had CD audio. GTA 1 had some, you know, good audio because it was a PlayStation game and a PC game.
Grand Theft Auto.
And for some reason, that guy says that at the beginning of the game. He goes, Grand Theft Auto, and then he never says it again. Now you just drive around, you're running into people, you're getting the cops all worked up, hit a lady, whatever. That's what you do. All right, so you get the idea, right? Now here's two.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's two. Two has got some funky start here. I skipped the opener, I just went straight to... It's got this sweet dance music. Now, I'm pretty sure two introduced radio stations, I think.
I think one had radio stations as well. I think they've all had radio stations. I could be incorrect about that, but I
never heard it on one. One never said anything. Now, maybe because I was playing an emulated version of the game, it may not. Some of the CD tracks may not be there. That's possible.
Yeah, and it's also if you're playing the DOS or the Windows version or the PS1 version, it's all according. But it seems like I do remember there being radio stations in the first one.
Okay.
I think.
Now, do you have a way to protect your ears? Because
I can remove my headphones.
Don't do that because I want you to hear it, but just be ready. Okay. The Game Boy Color version of the game.
Oh my God. Yes, I played this.
This makes you want to set fire to something and then eat it. Okay. So here it is. It's really bad. Even by Game Boy Color standards, this is.
Well,
really bad.
They sacrificed that audio for the other things, which was presenting the full map in the Game Boy Color. So good on them.
Yeah.
I mean, something had to go. It was a much bigger game.
You're right. It was sparser, obviously, on the bells and whistles because that's what the hardware is capable of. But they somehow managed to get the whole game in there. And that's impressive in its own weird way. I kind of like that version. I find it clean and easy to play.
That's what I would say too. If you go, which one's more playable? I actually think that the Game Boy Color one's more playable. I can't say that it's a better experience, but the playability seems to be there because it's so clean.
How far did you get into that version? I'm just curious how long you played.
I ran a few missions. I didn't go much deeper than that.
That's about all I did too. But I did find myself after all of this sort of experimenting, this is the one I wanted to go back to. And part of it, I think, is because even though the PC and PlayStation versions frame rate's not terrible, it's not great either. Like, you're not getting like a 60 frame per second or plus, you know, sort of frame rate on these old games. So it feels just choppy. I feel like driving is a bit of a slideshow. It didn't feel so bad on the Game Boy because the Game Boy was just putting out whatever the Game Boy puts out. Like, it just was fine. It's a little handheld game. I actually played it in handheld mode. I think that helped with the experience. I had a shader on there that looked like an old Game Boy screen. So I was living the accurate life, or at least trying to. It's not until I got to the Game Boy Advance version where I was actually the most excited, because I thought, all right, it's called GTA Advance.
Right.
I thought, this will be the game. This will be the one I'm going to enjoy the most, because the Game Boy Advance was a huge jump up from Game Boy. And graphically, we're going to be better. We're going to get smoother frame rates, better sound, better music, all this stuff. And I was right on most of it, except for that frame rate. It's a chop fest. And I'm talking like the original cartridge, not talking just emulation problems or something. That original game was, I don't know, not optimized, or they went too crazy with the surroundings, or the piece of hardware just wasn't able to do it, or what the frick happened there. But that game looks like it might be the best one. And instead, it's just impossible for me to move 4 feet in it without being annoyed.
Yeah, it looks like it's like running at like 12 frames per second or something. It's not very smooth.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
I think it's because they tried to emulate all that dithering effect that you would see on the PlayStation. You wouldn't really see the dithering effect on the PC version, because you could actually go into 3DFX mode. You ever use that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. So you get like this, well, same thing it did to Quake. You'd end up getting like a kind of a cool,
smooth
looking texture. Yeah.
Right. It looked good. But yeah, I think that's what happened with the Game Boy Advance. And just in my opinion, that it tried to do all that dithering, and it's like,
Yeah. But you see here with this video this is Game Boy Color. It's a nice, smooth experience. If you look at the GBA game, which I'll now put up, it's whatever the opposite of smooth is. Look at this. Like, it's just chunky and bland.
This is basically, it's got the two weapons, the GTA 2 weapons, which are like the flamethrower and that kind of stuff. And that's definitely going to create some lagginess.
Yeah, I felt like that.
I don't know if it was this laggy. Was it always this laggy?
I looked at this right here, by the way, is video from the console. Somebody's got it hooked up with like wires and junk. I looked up video of it being
unplayable.
Turboed in emulation mode. It looked just as bad. It's not emulation. This is how the game looked. And again, like visually and kind of like pixel art wise, I like the look of it. But the minute it starts moving, it's like 12 frames per second or something.
Yeah.
Consistently but you know, it never goes any faster than that. And it bummed me out, because this is the one I wanted to play through again. I was like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play this. The one I actually am going to probably play, as we're just ripping through these here, is GTA Chinatown.
Chinatown on the PSP.
On the PSP to begin with, anyway. It showed up on DS and what was one other place this was? Crap. Maybe mobile got it at one point. I can't remember.
I think you're right. I think it did go to mobile as well. On iOS, I believe.
I think that's right.
Don't quote me on it.
Yeah, I'm not going to quote you, but I really liked Chinatown. Turns out everybody else did too. Chinatown Wars is the highest rated GTA portable game ever made.
Mm-hmm. And top down.
Yep, top down. Mm-hmm. Well, more like it is top down, but it's kind of a little bit behind you a little bit.
You know,
to get a little perspective or whatever on the world. And that changed things a little bit. And this is after GTA 3 and Vice City. So, you know, they already knew where they were going to go in the future of the franchise, but they were trying to say, well, what are we making for a handheld console and still make it, you know, GTA-like? And I think they just ended up with this weird hybrid thing. But the story's really good. Exploring Liberty City's Chinatown as a place in the place we were already familiar with is really fun and cool. And it's smooth, silky smooth, nice textures, very cool. Had the radio stations. I mean, it's basically everything they learned with modern ones, but they applied it to the old top-down formula, and I think it worked really well. It was a good game.
This is probably like 10 years after GTA 2, so we've come forward a little bit. We've already had GTA 3, but this looks – I love the PSP.
Yeah.
I think we're going to look back fondly on the PSP. I already do, but I think even going forward –
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I wish Sony liked it as much as we all did. I wish they liked their Vita as much as we all did. I love my Vita.
Yep. I love my Bell Vita.
I would love it if, like, this was the year that Sony announced their follow-up handheld. It bums me out that Sony's out of that market. They just don't seem to. I mean, I know they never made the kind of money they wanted to, but they seem to do. It seemed to be fine.
Yeah, it's fine. There was plenty of. Most of the hardcore gamers I knew had one, and even casual. I don't know. I've seen so many of them. I just don't know what they weren't doing. I think maybe one of the biggest things was selling enough titles for it, because I didn't have a lot of PSP games when I had it. That's probably one of the, but the ones I did have, I loved. I played the crap out of.
Yeah, me too. Didn't I sell you a PSP? What happened there?
I think you might. Did I sell you a PSP, or did we sell one to Brian Ibbett? I don't know. There was some exchanging done that we had.
I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't either. There was some PSP swapping.
Yeah. Somebody somewhere bought a PSP in our circles, and I don't remember who it was or why they bought it or what the deal was. But if you still have this for any of your old consoles or have a way to play it, it might. This is a thing that's weird to say. I think this might be my favorite GTA game, period.
It's not a bad call. That's not a bad call. I think it's a great game.
Yeah. It's just really fun. And you know what would be cool is, you know, some of the better ripoffs or games that kind of went into their own, like Saints Row. You know, they start out as kind of GTA clones, and you know, by the time they got to 3, they were their own thing. But I'd love them to do one like in this kind of format, or just an indie to do something like this again. I love these kinds of games. Send me on missions. It's little dudes running around. Let's have these cutscenes where I'm talking to mobsters in the city, and I don't know what it is, but I just love it. Big fan.
It's such a flow game too. You jump in the car, you quickly, they got everything mapped out well. You can quickly change the radio stations, and I just remember just feeling zen a lot of times when I played this one. It just felt like it was just good. It's good.
Now, did you play GTA Liberty City Stories on the PSP?
I never played Stories. Did you play Stories?
I did, and it's poopy.
Okay, that's probably the reason why I never played it, is because it is poopy.
I think it might be the worst GTA ever may have been.
Oh, wow.
I know. That seems a little harsh, and I'll explain why, but it's...
GTA 2 is notoriously known for being kind of the place that almost destroyed everything, right? But you're saying maybe Liberty City Stories is even worse.
Yeah. Ugh. My problem with Liberty City Stories is that they tried to cram the PS2... true third person, big immersive world thing. They tried to cram it into a too small a package. I just don't think it worked.
Right.
And as a result, it plays sloppy. It feels not as good as the quote unquote big boy versions of the game. I just think it's incredibly problematic. It's super glitchy and twitchy. And I don't know. Just didn't do it for me.
So I think every Grand Theft Auto, the one of the defining parts of it is the glitch. It seems like they never fully resolve all glitches. And I think intentionally in some ways, but I think it comes from the very DNA of the very first PS1. I'm sorry. Yeah. The original Grand Theft Auto, because when it glitched, they just leaned into it. Like the cops were not nearly as aggressive in earlier versions of this. And when there was a glitch, they started ramming you. Mm-hmm. And so they kept it in. They tweaked it some. And so I think it's a long storied history with GTA and its glitchiness.
Yeah.
But this sounds like it went too far.
These days they call it open world glitch or open world jank. And every open world game has some form of jank. But I feel like the OG is probably 3, because 3 was the one though where they went, all right, full 3D. And they changed the world. I mean, that you can say you like or don't like GTA 3. I don't know if people do or don't. I personally, on the console side, I preferred Vice City to that.
Right.
But you cannot deny the seismic impact those games had, not just on the business, but on them and that company. They became worth billions almost overnight due to the success of that thing. The game continues to outsell everything ever that it's ever put up against. And 5 is weird, because every year it's had a new version, basically. They had a version for PS3 and 360 back in 2013. Right. They had new versions.
Are people sick of us yet?
They had new versions for the new consoles at the time that following year. A year after that, PC got it. So 2015, the PC got one. And then where are we now? Oh, yeah, this week. We did this at the perfect time. This week, yeah. I think it is. I think it is this week. Series X and Series S, as well as PS5, are all getting their versions of, you know, their upgraded versions of this that you can now go buy.
Right. That's probably the reason why it's been on my radar.
Yeah. I've been kind of tempted to get it. I don't know. Why would I be? I have the PC version. It's not going to be better than that. It'd be the same.
It can't be better than that, right? Yeah. But, you know, but still. Maybe.
I don't know. Do I really want to? I mean, I'm not going to play that story for the fourth time.
I don't
have
time to play any of that. I'm still playing Grand Theft Auto 1. I've got to complete all those missions.
Yeah. And I will say this.
I can get to Miami.
On a tiny screen, this looked better than it deserved. Everything looks better on a small screen, right? Like detail and stuff. Right. So this looked pretty good on a small screen. Liberty City Stories, that is. But the story was poo. Don't bother with it. Don't try to find it. It's not great. In my opinion, you guys do what you do, do what you want to do. But in my humblest of opinions, it's not that great. The GBA game did kind of slap at the beginning. Listen to this. Oh, wait. This isn't the one. Here it is. Pretty good, right? It's nice.
What was that on?
This is the GBA game. Yeah. Sound and music weren't their problem. They had voices. You had those cops all the time going, "We got a runner on something second and third. We need to get two cops." That stuff. I love that. It's really good. Now, Liberty City Stories just sounded like this. Oh, no, this isn't that. This is, I apologize. Like this is Chinatown. Then it drops. Right? It's pretty good.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the game to play.
That's it.
Yep. Are you going to play any more of these after all this? Do you think you'll give any time to them?
I apparently have in my mind to play them because before I played this week, I'd already downloaded them on Steam, like the whole thing. I bought some kind of Grand Theft Auto pack, and it had... 1, 2, and 3, but had some other ones in there as well. And I obviously downloaded them, and I planned on playing them at some point, apparently, because I like my hard drive space, but I'd installed those, so I guess I need to get back to it.
Yeah, finally, you know what? That's funny you bring that up. I noticed this today. I finally got into a place with hard drives on the PC where I don't care anymore how much stuff's on there because it's big enough.
I don't either.
I have a 4 terabyte, I have a 4 terabyte C drive and a 4 terabyte D drive.
Right.
And I'm never going to fill those up with games.
Don't say you're going to fill them up.
Yeah, but I'm just like, right now I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Steam games installed, some of them in the 70 to 80 gigabyte range. I'm barely scratching the surface.
Yeah.
So at least right now, until games are, you know, 300 gigabytes each, and they'll get there.
Oh, they'll get there.
Until then, I kind of overdid it on the PC side. Like on my consoles, I'm like, shit, I'm at 83%. Damn it. What do I have to delete? I hate that.
I'm always had to make decisions on my consoles. That's one of the reasons why I get mad at my console. I'm like, come on, make me decisions. I don't want to do it.
You ever, what's the maddest you ever got at a console? Do you have, I have a moment if you don't have one, I can think of it.
Probably Christmas Eve when we got the Xbox 360 and we tested it just in case. And we played Zuma, and then 5 minutes into it, it red ringed.
Oh my Lord! On Christmas?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve, the night before. I was making sure everything was working. It's bad.
That would piss me off so bad, dude.
Yeah,
that's bad. That was a rough time. Those early models, rough time. I'm surprised they actually rose out of that and did fine after that.
Yeah,
did really well actually. But those early days and that red ring stuff. That was no good. Okay, that's a pretty good one. I like that. For me, it was playing... I know what it was. We were playing... So the PlayStation 1 had a great version of Micro Machines on it. I forgot the full name. Micro Machines something. And it's, you know, competitive racing. We had 4 of us. I had a multi-tap, all that. And my friend Steve was just destroying everybody. And at one point... He edged me out in such a close way and we'd been playing for so long that I freaking hurled that controller at the wall and it put a big old hole right there in the wall. Little PlayStation.
Yeah. Those controllers are tougher than the wall usually. Well, I've told you, man, at the beginning of the show, you got to give Steve the crappy controller.
Give Steve the poo. That's what I say. let's look at some origin stuff. Lemmings, the people who built this made Lemmings, if you can believe
it. Yes, they did.
Yeah, that was their
big
first deal.
It was still DMA then. Wasn't Rockstar.
No, DMA Design, right?
Yeah, DMA Design. Deal? Yep, yeah. Yep.
And later were renamed Rockstar North. Jones, developer Dave Jones, Davy Jones and his locker. he was best known as the creator of Lemmings. He left DMA Design in 99 and went on to make GTA-esque ABP, or APB, and then yes, the more successful Crackdown for Xbox. So I think he's still on the Crackdown team. But APB,
I think he is too, yeah.
APB tried real hard. Oh, man.
Yeah, Dave Jones was there at the beginning, and he stayed through until after GTA 1, a lot of swapping of ownership on the DMA.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he got out as soon as he could. He didn't want to hang around forever to make more GTA games. And then what does he do? He goes out and makes APB.
Yeah, which was not good or ever good. Even the re-release in 2011 called APB Reloaded was also very bad and not a good game.
Crackdown had its moments.
Oh, Crackdown's great. Crackdown 1 and 2, freaking awesome games. I even think 3 is really good, except it doesn't do anything new, so 3 feels like kind of a waste of time. Like, why'd you do this if you're not going to make anything cool and new out of it? But I'm planning on playing it again as soon as Microsoft adds 60 frames per second to it. Right now, it's locked at 30 for no reason.
Oh, gross.
It's a PS... Or no, sorry.
It's a good-looking game.
Xbox One game, I guess. Was that a launch game? No. Came later.
No.
But anyway, point is... this guy had a hankering for stealing cars and blowing shit up, and he tried it again with APB Reloaded, and it didn't work, which is unfortunate.
Right.
Good luck to him. I don't know where he is now. We could find out, I guess. Let's see. The original design document of this thing is pretty great. This was posted by lead designer Mike Daly. Uploaded Race and Chase's original design document to his Flickr photo stream. This is what it said at one point. The aim of Race and Chase is to produce a fun, addictive, and fast multiplayer car racing and crashing game that uses novel graphics methods. The original concept reads, the game story was simply stated as the game will be set in a present day world. So thank God. Originally were just going to have like freaking rock and roll racing in a modern city. That's it.
Right.
Yeah. Would that have been enough for you? Probably not.
That I probably needed more.
Yeah, I feel like would we have the GTAs we have now? Would we have open world games now without them, pivoting and making a more deep experience? Probably not.
Because I think that's what happened in this game. Reading that the design document is really interesting to see where they started. But there's a bunch of documentaries out there, by the way, like freaking so much content to learn about Grand Theft Auto, the whole series.
Oh, it's huge.
But the way they worked as a team and progressed. You'll hear some of the names we're going to say, but that wasn't the only people involved with GTA. This was a collaborative effort where everybody just kind of threw in stuff that said, but let's do this as well. Let's try this and this. And they just kept trying to put it in there until they came up with something fun. Because the basics of it, pretty boring. And it's not even. And at the time, it was not graphically impressive at all. I mean, we had plenty of top-down race games. And this didn't look good as the stuff that was coming out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I remember the time people were put off by its use of American culture. And there's a really great interview here. In 2015, interview posted on the Guardian website, game designer Paul Farley said this. And I think this holds true to even, the current game now. We wanted to poke fun at U.S. culture and could do pretty much whatever we wanted, since from day one, the plan was for it to be 18 rated, meaning, older. This is not for kids. Sometimes we went too far. In one mission idea, which was later cut, you could go around burning churches. You'd probably be arrested for putting that in a game now, even though it was at the time very tongue-in-cheek. We'd come in on a Monday and say, what movies did you watch this weekend? What music are you listening to? And that would really inform the game. We had guys who were really into cars, others into heavy weaponry. We'd bring in our favorite childhood shows like Knight Rider and the A-Team and take inspiration from the movies like Speed, which were referenced quite a bit in the game.
Nice.
Love that.
I do love that. I don't know if you would get arrested for putting church burning in a game, but you would certainly be arrested if you did in real life.
Oh,
but
hell
most
yeah.
Most of these things you get arrested for in real life.
Yeah, yeah. There's 90% of what you do in these games you get in trouble for, but I think they had to stay as close as they could in the lanes, no pun intended for Grand Theft Auto.
Some pun intended.
But stay in the lane of this, you know, what if you took Goodfellas, or what if you took, I don't know, some other existing film series, mobs, movies, Sopranos, whatever. Sopranos would come a little later. But the point is, like, that kind of stuff, and then stay within those lines pretty much.
Right.
So the language of those games. I remember the first game, or not first game, the third game, 3, had like no cussing in it. Like 3 had no swearing. It didn't have much. You weren't voiced either, your main character. But everyone else that talked, Joey Pants, all these other actors, none of them cussed. And then Vice City, same deal. Pretty low on the cuss meter. Maybe a few here and there. San Andreas comes out.
Yeah.
All bets are off, dude. That thing was like the sweariest mother effing sweary swear you've ever heard in your life. And I don't know what changed. Something changed in the game culture where we went, no, we're okay with this now. We're fine with this in games.
Right. Yeah. It's a good question, because early on, they were looking at doing some language, and they kept getting pushed back, especially from like BMI, who was the publisher on the first one. And did they get into the second? Anyway, with their relationship with BMI, and at one point in time, they were kind of dialing some of this stuff back. I don't know. I think it lots of times ends up being because of the publisher, not necessarily because of culture, because I think we all, you know, as individuals, mm-hmm. we curse every day.
Sure we do.
We do it.
Yeah. I say shit all the time. It's my favorite.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Brian likes to drop an F-bomb here and there, but I like it.
Yeah, I like to do it. Shit. Franks.
Franks. Yeah, Franks.
Franks.
Here's my favorite part of the series, true in the early days, true today. Part of what sells the game is that it is controversial. And anytime some uppity old person gets up in some government capacity and goes, we need to take a look at this game and what it's doing to our children. You know what happens immediately? All the children go, what is it? And they want to go play it. All right.
Yeah.
That happened a lot with this game. There's some pretty good marketing stuff here. I love this. On May 20th, 1997. This wasn't that long ago. Feels like it is.
In
some ways, but whatever.
Decades.
I guess it's been decades. Lord Campbell of Croy, the former Scottish secretary and member of the cross-party consumer affairs group, spoke to the House of Lords about a scandalous new computer game called Grand Theft Auto. The game, he explained, had hit and runs, joyriding, and police chases. I know, right? Quote, there would be nothing to stop children from buying it, he warned.
Money.
Yep. Then he went on to say, criminal computer game that glorifies hit-and-run thugs. Imagine yourself being an up-and-coming low-life car thief, stealing exotic cars, and then add murder one, cop-killing, carjacking, drug running, bank raids, and even illegal alien assassination. Oh,
yeah,
God,
that sounds
clutch
great
your
to
pearls.
Me. Sign me up.
Clutch your pearls, and I'm sure the kids won't. I'm sure the kids will go, oh, we can't have any of that and not play it. No problem.
This all started with PR guru Max Clifford, who's since then became kind of a controversial figure for other reasons other than his sensational headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Who's have you ever read anything about Max Clifford?
No. Tell me more about
him. He's a lunatic.
Yeah.
Now, he's not just a lunatic now. It's no surprise that he's done all kinds of weird stuff. But he also did he had all kinds of great. He would whisper in the ears of these lords. Mm-hmm. And just would get them all riled up. Oh, riled up, I say.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. He says, we'll encourage the right people that it would be good for them to speak out on how outrageous this is and criticize it. I will feed these stories into the ear of a lord somewhere. And there's this game developed in Scotland, which is utterly despicable. And then at the end of 3 months, you'll be in prime time. And I was like, yeah, right. But everything he said came true, unquote.
Ah, it all came true, my friend.
Yeah,
now, if you want to learn more about that kind of stuff, what was behind that GTA marketing and just the controversies, there's a book called Jacked, The Outlaw Story of Grand Theft Auto. It's on Amazon. I kind of read the little blurb, their little free sample. I like what I read so far. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up because we're going to revisit Grand Theft Auto one day. Mm-hmm. And when we do, I'm going to be even more versed.
Oh, look at you digging in so deep, you'll never get out.
Never get out.
Here's the other thing that I like about the game. Well, we're not going to get into the hot coffee thing, but I think it's absolutely hilarious that hot coffee thing that happened with San Andreas, which for those who don't know, featured the main character in lots of weird sexual positions with people. It's a long story. It wasn't part of the game. You had to unlock it. It was just code that was in the game. and the game got recoded as adults only in some markets, and it was a huge controversy at the time.
Yeah, it seems weird that it would get recoded just because there's a hidden secret. I mean,
it's really weird. But then now you watch this stuff, or you play certain modern video games, puts that stuff to shame. Like The Witcher has way more, the sex scenes in The Witcher, more adult and way more out there, way more boobies, way more everything. And also in a way more high fidelity state because it's a brand, you know, it's a newer video game. That other stuff is just like crap. It's like four polygons and it's supposed to be sex. But anyway, to me that just sort of illustrates where we were in the 90s all the way up through mid-aughts, and we just could not figure out were games for kids, and if they're not for kids, well, like, who are they for? And then if they're for everybody, has everything I believed before was a lie? I thought these were toys. Like, all the old men didn't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. So. Well, we kind of took a, in the U.S. especially, and if you're looking at culture from the U.S. that inspired a lot of this stuff in this game, we were going through a conservative moment during the 80s, even though you'd look at it and go, how loud and bright, but we were being very conservative, trying to get back to some roots of what we'd had before. And so, 90s, irreverent and, trying to rebel a little bit and work at your real bell better than in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. It's real dumb, though. The other thing that was dumb about it, I'm not encouraging anyone to, I mean, do what you want to do. You can go look at it if you want to. But if you go find the hot coffee stuff from back then, you'll be bored. The dude doesn't even, he's still in his full clothes and stuff. Like, he's just running around like nothing changed. It's just bad.
Lukewarm coffee.
It's PS2, ugly graphics. It's a bad time.
No one wants to see PS2 porn.
Who was all angry about it? But then
Tipper Gore. Jack Thompson?
No, Tipper Gore. Well, yeah, he was all up in it too. But Tipper Gore, at the time, the wife of the vice president, she was responsible for your, contain explicit lyrics, labels on hip hop music and that kind of stuff. She didn't realize what she was doing. If her goal was to make less kids listen to rap, make less kids play games like this, all of that, she took the wrong tact because all those things they became badges of pride. Your rap album sold more simply by having that thing on it. In fact, if you release one today and you don't have the explicit thing on there, you're not taken seriously.
Yeah.
It completely backfired in Tipper Gore's face, in my opinion.
It backfires every generation that tries to come in and go, okay, listen up, kids. You understand things. This is how it should be. And whenever you do that, you always get backlash.
You always do. Every time. The kids are going to go do it anyway. If you say, hey, I hear there's satanic backmasking in this, Beatles album, guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to buy Beatles albums.
Beatles sales through the roof.
Yeah. People are dumb. I can't believe how long it takes us to figure this shit out. We learned it a long time ago with my own kids. If there's something I didn't want my kids to do, the opposite is the thing you should probably do that you think you're going to do. Like if one of the kids goes, penis, and they're five, you don't go, you will never say penis in this house. You don't do that. If you do, penis.
You wait till they're 14, and then you start using the word, and then they'll never use it again.
Yeah, but the better thing is when they're five and they're saying that, you sit them down and you say, do you know what that word is? No. And I go, well, you've got one. You've got a penis. Oh, that's what I go pee from. Like, you can have this awkward but important conversation with your kids that isn't about demonizing a dumb word. Don't demonize words. You're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Church burn.
church burn. Let's move on to this. The German version. When playing the game in the German language settings, it's not possible to choose the female protagonist. Why is that? Is that true?
That's a good question. That was why I put that in there, because I was curious. I would like to hear from our listeners if they know anything. I didn't dig too deep into this one. But apparently, is that dubious or not? You just play in the German language settings. I don't even know who ported it over or localized that. So, I mean, it seems like it would be like, oh, I can't believe that the Germans wouldn't let you play as a female protagonist.
That's pretty weird.
Shocking.
I don't know what that was about. Feels like a bug, maybe. Neither. But maybe not.
It was almost, I'm almost 100% sure it was a bug, but I'm sure there is all kinds of lies out there. And I'd like to hear your best lie. Boop show. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. Hey, my favorite thing, my favorite trivia, there was in GTA 2, there was a Jesus Saves option. So here's how it worked. To save the game, player needed to finish the Jesus Saves church. It can only be found out by listening out for the organ playing, or by hijacking a TV van. The antenna on top is always pointing towards it, so it's like a way of getting there. Once at the church, player needs to pay $50,000 to save, and it's best not to save until turning off the game. However, turning off the game. However, completing two of these three missions will easily reward the player with enough money. The Game Boy Color version lacks a proper save feature, instead utilizing a password system, like a lot of those did back then. And that's fine. The passwords were
I prefer to find Jesus Save so I can save it. Because yeah, it was a neon sign. I think the neon sign flashes or something, and it says "us saves" or something like that, or what is that? I forget exactly, but it's like there's a visual clue to it. But I've never found it.
Yeah,
I've seen videos.
I have not found it either, and I'm not going to try because I don't think these games hold up. I wish they did. I just don't think they're very good. You know,
yeah,
they're a thing of their time. Some games hold up and stay around. I've always argued that early PlayStation 1, early polygonal PC, even that's a rough period. Then much of it doesn't hold up, but what came from it is massive and hard to deny. You know, the impact of something like a GTA 5 or even 4, but certainly 3. 3 was a massive deal, and here we are today, waiting for 6.
Here we are.
And then, you know, had it not been for this stuff, I would have never had Red Dead Revolver, Red Dead Redemption, or Red Dead Redemption 2. We never would have had any of it.
Never. None of it.
Two of those are my favorite games of all time. So,
you'd be sad.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Just looking back, do you think there's a game series from that era? And I think I already have an answer to this because there is one. But is there another game series you can think of from that era that was more influential on games we play today? Because right now, almost every AAA game you buy is some variation of an open world game, including brand new games this month. Forbidden West and Elden Ring. These are open world games that are built upon a long running bunch of games like it that they just sort of keep iterating and making better and having new ideas to apply to them and that sort of thing. Open world is a part of gaming in a way that I think people have forgotten just how integrated it is right now. And maybe that was always the goal. Maybe we always wanted to get to a place where it's a big open space and I had to drive far to do shit. I don't know. But can you think of anything as impactful as that?
Because
I got one example and it's all I can think of. But
are you saying impactful in this particular genre or just over the whole thing?
I'd say just gaming in general, spreading. Well, I'll put it this way: those AAA games I mentioned, you know, God of War, you know, all the big ones these days, they all have open world elements, if not completely open world based games.
Right.
That feels like a major impact to me. So do you have anything where you can say, oh, yeah, that kind of impact? I'll tell you my second one just so I can get out of the way.
I've been so hung up on Grand Theft Auto, I can't think of anything else right now. I've literally emptied my entire gaming brain this week just to shove in the Grand Theft Auto. What you got?
I got Doom and Quake. That's the other ones.
Okay, Doom and Quake. Those are good. Early I thought about that, software. But I wasn't sure if it applied that way. I also thought about Half-Life for a second because, I mean, oh, my God, every game for freaking forever was built on that.
Yeah, but without Half-Life, you have without Doom and Doom 2's engine in particular, you have no Half-Life. So, you know.
Right. So it's, yeah.
It just feels like, you know, as much as this stuff's about iteration, and it is.
Right.
And even if you don't like the tone of these games or GTA always rubbed you wrong, or even if the new ones don't do it for you, whatever, I just think it's undeniable the impact. Just hard to quantify it. All right. Do you have a game that's similar to Grand Theft Auto that's like your favorite? Like, do you go like, oh yeah, man, that one that's, you know, like Grand Theft Auto?
But it's kind of like Grand Theft. So I gotta make a choice. Like, I'm gonna go. I'd probably say something. No, Grand Theft Auto is my go-to place. I really...
Sleeping Dogs is the correct answer. You are incorrect. Sleeping Dogs.
I didn't even think about Sleeping Dogs. How did I not think about Sleeping
Dogs? I almost 100% of that game. I beat the story.
Oh, how about Just Cause or something like that?
Just Cause is all right, although Just Cause... Yeah, Just Cause. I think that's fair. Sure.
I like Just Cause because I've gotten every one of them so cheap.
Yeah.
I've never played them. If I hadn't, I've always got them with some kind of deal. And then I load them up and I'm like, oh, yeah, I like these games.
I bought 3 at launch. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really good. I probably should
I think I bought it at close, and I think it was like 50 cents.
Oh, you know what's crazy? Is this character right here in 3 that we're in Vice City we're watching? Hold on a second. I got to play this. What's that? You're green. You know who that is?
And my dead brother's white lady. Unfortunately, you just silenced our lead.
You know who that is?
Now, who is that?
That's Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. From the source material, because that's what this all stuff is based on, right? Because our love for Miami Vice.
Yeah. It all came out of that. And he was in it. So was, there were so many voices in that game. I can't think of them all now.
Was he fighting a crocodile or alligator? What was he always? Who had to, didn't.
Did someone fight a crocodile in Vice City? I don't remember that.
No. Didn't Crockett always have like an alligator or a crocodile? Which one?
Oh, Crockett. So Tubbs was Michael Thomas Philip Howell or whatever his name is.
Right.
And the other dude, Don Johnson's character, Crockett, had a boat. He lived on a boat. And in the boat was he did have a pet gator in the boat. Yes.
That's right.
Dude, I loved Miami Vice. Freaking unapologetically loved that show.
The TV series called Miami Vice that was really just a weekly reason to watch a music video.
Yeah,
because it just had the best music.
Kind of, yeah. You know, you'd see Phil Collins show up and he'd do In the Air Tonight or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that stuff, dude. Oh, man. I even like the movie. Michael Mann can do no wrong. I love all his movies, but I really like that movie.
It's good.
Even though a lot of people don't, I think that Miami Vice movie is just fine. Just fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We film sacked it. It was good.
It was fine. We had a good time with it. All right. I think that's probably it. There's a bunch of these. Oh, you want to play it today? Is what you got to do. You can emulate it. DOSBox, Beetle PSX, Game Boy Advance with MGBA or whatever. If you can find the old cartridges, of course, that'll work too. There's the Dreamcast has a version of 2, right? That's a thing.
They do. Yeah.
Okay. The Dreamcast.
That's the only Grand Theft Auto that ever made it to the Dreamcast, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Steam still got it. You can buy GTA 1, 2, and 3 on Steam, I think.
You can't.
Oh, you can't now. But you may have already done so, though, right? Like if you already have it.
If you've already got it, which is what I had, you can download it still and install it. But no, you can no longer purchase it on Steam.
What happened? Oh, that's because they pulled out and did their own launcher. That's why.
That's right.
Yep. That's dumb. They'll come back.
Yeah.
They thought that was a good idea. It's not a good idea. Who just announced they're not? Bethesda's not going to have their launcher anymore. It's all going back on Steam. Grand Theft Auto Max Pack. You can find out about that in the GTAforums.com. And occasionally Rockstar throws this stuff up. I don't know what's up on their launcher right now. Some of these might be free. I don't know.
Right. One and two, they've over the years, like in 2012 and again in 2018, they'll throw up the free download for the 1 and 2 Windows versions. Usually it's like a promotion to go along with whatever the latest release is.
Yeah. So there's that. I probably played the most of the newer games and then China Wars. So I'm still going to say, if you're going to try to find any of these and play any of this stuff, go China Wars.
I think is a completist. If you're like me,
Chinatown Wars, sorry. Sorry.
Right. I'm going back and playing games more thoroughly than my limited experience. A lot of my video gaming early on was going over to friends' houses and getting, you know, just the minimum amount of playtime on other people's devices. And so now that I'm capable of getting all these things, it's really just me trying to not relive my childhood, but explore what I didn't get to experience fully. And so if you've never really experienced 1 and 2 because you're in a similar boat, I recommend it because, oh, my God, I learned so much from this.
Yeah.
I learned what not to do. How's that?
Yeah.
I learned what I don't like.
Yep. I really hope whatever 6 is, and there's hints, I guess there's been some leaks that suggest this, they're going to maybe return to the Vice City vibe. I would be so into that. They're talking about it in the chat. I totally agree. There's a vibe about that game, a tone about that game that made that the most fun in the more modern, mid to modern era. Right. And I would love to return to that in a new game, but just running around and hearing the radio going, I ran so far away. Like all the stuff I grew up with, I could just listen to that all day. It's so good.
Yeah.
And Spotify and Apple Music have a bunch of great sound, playlists that are just full of like Miami Vice playlists. So good. Anyway, so there you go. Hey, you know what time it is? It's time to guess my game.
Destroy it.
No.
Brian, I'm going to guess a game that you provided. You're going to guess what I provided. It turns out, without knowing this about each other at all, the two games that we were doing today were both released in 1989. Yeah.
So it's going to be a saloon type piano music.
Yep. And something you do with a penny and a bottle of whiskey.
You can hear a crank.
Yep. No, these are games that released in 1989, and I have no idea what yours is. You don't know what mine is. Here's my hint before I play my audio. This is a port to a console from an arcade hit.
No, a port to a console from an arcade hit released in 1989. Okay. Yeah.
So the console is clearly going to be an NES, maybe a Master System. I don't want to give anything away, but
that's pretty much in where we're at. Yeah. Yes.
I'll just tell you that it's the NES. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you. All right. Here you go. See if you can figure it out. Sound happened a lot more than I'd like to admit. It actually represents a bad fall. Yeah, it's not good. So every time that happens, you don't want that to have happened. Oh, except that. That's good. I got to the next level. This is me playing, by the way. I was playing this. Oh, I wiped out again. All right, any ideas?
Oh, you're giving it away. Wiped out. Okay, so you must be either surfing or skating, right?
I don't know. You tell me.
It's not 720.
I'm not telling you.
It would be an arcade port, though.
You'll have to tell me.
It does sound like you're splashing out, though. Yes. Surfing USA for the NES.
Let's find out if you are correct. The answer is incorrect. The true answer is the NES version of 720 degrees.
No way. Get out of here. That sounds like trash. I would never play the 720 if it was on the freaking NES.
It wasn't that very good. Trash. It wasn't very good. No question. I owned it, though, because I loved the arcade game.
It looks cute, though.
And looks cute. It looks fine. Yeah. It's got a decent frame rate for an NES title, but I played it a bit today, and it's all right. It's okay. It plays all right. It's not the worst thing you'll ever put your hands on. It's not the best.
Oh, I'm looking at Marble. Is it Marble Madness right now? What's going on? What is the year?
Oh, you don't remember these? These are levels that they're basically mini levels scattered throughout the world that you get cash for.
Cash prize.
I really like that game. Yeah.
Where's the bees at?
The bee. I don't know if I ever saw any bees. I got attacked by a skull once. You know how they change this? They change these games. Yeah. They make them different.
So. Yeah, yeah. Because it's a port. I mean, they just artistically recreate the situation, right? Is that lady in a bikini?
Yeah, and she's misshapen.
8-bit bikini?
She looks 16-bit? She looks awful. Her arms are all elongated and effed up. She's mad. She's bad. I don't like her at all. Anyway, so there's your game. Let's play yours and see if I can get it. Here we go. 1989. Anything else you want to hint at, or is that enough?
No brainer. Also, this is on the NES. This is 1989. What'd you expect?
Okay. Let's see if I can figure it out. I feel like I should know this. Why do I know this?
Developed by Capcom.
Capcom. Oh.
The answer is not Choplifter.
It's not Choplifter, yeah. I think I heard a sound that threw me.
But that's going to have a Choplifter sound to it, though.
Is this that, those little bust a move guys?
No.
What are they called? What am I thinking of?
I don't know. What is that?
The Bust a Move guys. They're the little dragons that pop bubbles.
Oh.
I don't know their names. They named it Bust a Move in the States, but it was called something some other name outside of the States.
Right.
Shit.
I don't know.
I think I give up. I'll try one. It's not that. So it's not that.
It's not that.
Okay.
It's not random bubble game.
Is it an arcade port or no?
No. Straight to the console.
I don't know.
It's DuckTales.
Oh, DuckTales. I did play this the other day because you were talking about it. Damn it. Yeah, this was that was all right. I enjoyed that, my time in that.
Yeah. Capcom was doing the Disney thing during 1989, and they played a little bit of DuckTales on us.
It's hard, that game.
It's not easy, that's for sure.
Yeah, I found it hard. Harder than I expected it to be. In fact, a lot of those difficult old Disney, those Disney Capcom games, Mickey's Magical Castle, whatever the hell it was called, that's another one that is I have really fond memories of. It's respected as a good platformer, but it's freaking hard.
Graham Cracker knows, got it in the chat room. Good job.
What was I trying to think of before? Oh, Bubble Bobble. Gosh dang
Bubble
it.
Bobble.
Oh, why couldn't I think of that? I played a bunch of that too recently. I like those guys, the little Bubble Bobble guys. They're pretty great. Bub and Bob or whatever. Why would you call that Bust a Move in America? That's the dumbest name.
Oh, Bust we need to talk move. About that one day. It's on our list of upcoming topics of why did you name it this?
Yeah. Like, why are international naming conventions so weird for games? I don't get it.
Right.
Or they used to be. They're not really like that now. Because of Young MC, says Kentucky Fried Computer. That's why. Bust Makes a Move. Sense. Yeah. All right. So there you go. There's that. Now what? Oh, hey. Time for an email from a listener. Look at this. Oh, no, I pushed the wrong thing. Shit. I feel like I've never done this before. We're 10 episodes in.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Wow, why is that playing again? Stop playing.
I don't know. I like it. Yeah, I like the remix.
That wasn't good. These are emails. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. This came to us from Tom Norris in Norfolk.
you almost did it. Norfolk.
Virginia. He's from Virginia, everybody.
You've been playing Grand Theft Auto.
I sure have. Give me your card, lady. Hey, Scott and Brian, he says, still loving the show. In the Bomberman episode, Scott mentioned that Super Game Boy existed and says something about it being the European version of the Game Boy Color. It was actually a peripheral device that allowed you to play your Game Boy games on your TV through your Super NES. I do not remember this at all. I remember there was a thing like that for the GBA. I don't know what that was even called for the GameCube. Something.
Right. Yeah, I looked at one of those today, actually. You could plug it in. So you can plug in your GameCube game. So Super Game Boy is the NES cart that you then plug in your Game Boy carts into.
Did it do color, though?
I would assume so. Super Game Boy is Game Boy cartridge. It says Game Boy cartridge, so I don't know.
Well, maybe it converted it to color or something. Well, anyway.
Maybe it had color. It did it. I don't know.
He says it was an oversized.
I mean, the color.
Go ahead.
What was that?
No, go ahead.
Oh. I don't know.
I don't know.
There was a Super Game Boy 2, apparently, too. So maybe that had the color.
Maybe it did. He says it looked like an oversized cartridge with a slot on the top. You insert your GB cartridge into that and then insert the whole deal into your SNES cartridge slot. To me, it was fantastic because I could play my Game Boy games without developing a massive headache. Also, at some point, can you talk about Adventure on the 2600? Namco's Mappy and Zombies Ate My Neighbors for the SNES. Just some of my favorites. Thanks, and keep playing retro.
Tom. I just played Zombie My Neighbors last night, and I almost, because I was testing something, and I brought it up, and I almost didn't get to Grand Theft Auto last night because I was enamored with this dumb game,
Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
And it's not even great, but something about it just made me want to keep playing.
Well, here.
It's LucasArts.
Chat, you guys can see. I'll play a little bit of this. Oh, it's Konami.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you said LucasArts. Was it LucasArts?
LucasArts.
Yeah, they're doing it together. You're right. Yeah. I didn't know they ever worked together. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what this is real quick. I could probably get some audio. Hold on. Sorry. Sorry, everybody at home. You'll hear it in a second. There we go. Okay, so this is a long, drawn-out thing. Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
It's a long intro.
Okay, so left player, right player, so you can do multiplayer. I'll be the dude. Boy, this is the most 90s ass shit I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Okay. How radical is that? Did okay. I play this? Jeez, look at this. It's like my gameplay to the
at level one exact. Zombie. Okay, let's see what we get here. Oh, this kind of plays nice.
Oh, are you playing this live?
Yeah, I'm playing alive.
Oh, cool.
Wow. All right.
You got it. Oh, you got it. Oh, you didn't save the cheerleader. So you got to save the cheerleader. We got to walk over the humans. You got to walk up to them.
Oh, I got to walk past the baby and the.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to grab them. There you go. Okay. Saved them.
All right. Let's see. Oh, those are zombies.
The zombies. Shoot the zombies. Then you got to jump on the trampoline.
Shit. Okay, I'm jumping. Jumping.
Yeah, the trampoline's very cool.
Oh, I can go over here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? This looks good. This has a nice
it looks
look.
Really good for this era.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say this is gonna get some playtime for me, and we may have to cover it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Sorry, I'm having a hard time shutting it down. Well, I want to leave.
I can't stop it.
End
too late.
Video game. End. End.
Too deep in.
Quit. Okay. There we go. All right. That seems neat. Boy, I got real quiet after that.
I liked it.
It was a loud game.
I liked it.
It's a water gun. That's how I'm killing zombies. Lame.
Yeah, of course. You got your 3D glasses on, your water gun. It all makes sense, Scott.
Yep. One here from Rob who says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I've been loving Play Retro and been telling all my friends about it. During the NHL 94 episode, you mentioned in an email that the two of you wanted to hear a deep dive You mentioned to email you if you wanted to hear a deep dive on the Ambernic RG552. We've talked about it here and there, but not quite a deep dive. Says, I would be very interested in hearing a deep dive into the device and about your flashing, not just your Wayne Gretzky.
Right. The flashing of the ROM.
Of the ROM.
Or the OS that came with it, right?
Yeah, on the cards. Hearing you guys talk about old games has got me digging into Steam. I think you mean Steam and other stores to see what old games I can play. It sounds like the Ambernic would be a good self-contained way to play old games that I've been missing about hearing on Play Retro. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I agree, dude. That's so far I really like mine a lot. And
I play with mine almost every day. That's what he said.
Yeah, I do actually. I play with my Wayne Gretzky almost every day. Yeah. And it's great. I played a bunch of Street Fighter 3 Zero Impact or something. Got my ass kicked. The computer does not like me, and I'm bad at Street Fighter 3, it turns out. I was good at 2, not so good at 3. 3's pretty good. 3 doesn't get the credit it deserves. That thing's animated and awesome, and it's on my Ambernic, and I love it. Anyway, thank you for the email, and we agree. We'll do more deep dives into hardware whenever we get them, and I think maybe after this one gets its first big firmware update, might be a good time for us to talk more about this device.
Agreed. I think we could totally. We're kind of in a tough position right now because a lot of their competitions, like the Odin and all these other handhelds that are kind of their competition, you can't get them. Yeah. And so the Ambernic is at least in stock. At least you can get it. But it takes some tweaking. And so it's not an out-of-the-box experience, and I wish they would hurry up and get the firmware. I wish they would hurry up and update that stuff and make it a little better experience.
There's
a way to do it. It's just a little
hacky. Is why I flashed mine, and since I flashed it, I haven't had any problems. But I'm guessing when their official thing comes out, I'm going to probably want to try that. If there's a better build or somebody does another smarter build of the thing, I'll probably do that. That's kind of fun in its own right. Just don't drop your micro SD cards. You'll never see them again. Don't drop them.
Right. Don't drop them. You don't drop them. You shoot them across the room because it's one of those spring loaded things. So it's flush.
Yeah.
And so you push in with your nail on the card, and then your nail slips off and it goes. Phew.
Yeah. Next thing you know, your dog's taking a SD shit and it's in there. I'm telling you, don't let it happen to you. It happened to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Our next discussion is going to be about the Metroid series.
And Metroid.
What's cool about that is right after that, the following week, we're going to go into the Vania series or the Castlevania series. So we're going to get our Metroidvania in a two-week chunk and look at why these games, these are some of my favorite games of all time. That's not unusual. A lot of people feel that way. And has sparked me to want to play more Metroidvanias lately than ever before. I'm playing through Blasphemous again. I love that game. What's the other newish one? Oh, I'm playing Axiom Verge for the first time. I'm probably almost done with the first one, and I'll get the second one after that. And there's one other game that I really like and I was looking at today and now I can't remember what the hell it was. Oh, and I posted about it and I just forgot how good it is. It's a terrible movie, but an amazing game. There was a game, pixelated, side-scrolling Metroid-like game made for that right. Mummy game. And it's called The Mummy Demastered. And it's amazing. It's so good. It's such a great game. Forget the movie. Pretend it doesn't exist. It doesn't matter to the game. The game is right. amazing on its own right, and it's 1,000 times better than that movie was. So play that.
Favorite Metroid game, if you had to.
Oh, we're not letting that spill out in the lobby here, are
okay,
we?
Okay, right. Okay, well, you're right. Good point. So tune in next week when Scott says, but Super Metroid, I'm going to try the most of the stuff that come before 2000. Even though I have Metroid Prime on my GameCube, it feels pretty darn modern for 2002.
It looks
freaking.
I agree.
Looks pretty freaking sweet. I don't know if I can even call that retro. So I got to go like before then.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we'll talk about them, but they right. are not the meat of where. When you say a Metroidvania, usually you're not talking about
later
Prime, things. Yeah, or first person right. shooters and stuff. You're talking about 2D puzzle solving, side scrolling, difficult bosses. You know, in the case of Metroid, crazy, crazy depth and tone yeah. and just like, oh, man, these games are so good. But we'll talk about the new one because the new one is like the old
Dread.
Ones. Yeah, it's just like the old ones in a lot of ways.
Yeah, side-scrolling. So,
anyway, we'll get to all that. That's next week. Metroid after that, Castlevania. And then who knows where we'll go after that. Okay.
Yeah. To the sky.
To the sky. To the sky, Luke. To the sky. Hint. That's, I don't even know what that means. Hey, we're done. Patreon.com/playretro is how you can support the show. We got all kinds of reasons to do it, including commercial free episodes every week. You also get bonus content every single time we record and more. So go read about it. Patreon.com/playretro. Big thanks to everybody who does. If you'd like to, you're more than welcome and it's cheap. Throw us a buck for what you like. All right. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And, of course, over at frogpants.com/playretro, you'll find that and everything else you're going to need. Brian, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Wasted.
Uh-huh.
I hated that sound when I was playing the game.
Yeah, not a big fan wasted. Either. Wasted. I wish it went, wasted, or something like that. That'd yeah, be cool, that'd right? Be anyway, we'll see you next week with way more stuff. We hope you have a good one. In the meantime, go play retro. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kayla Itzinis. I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.